It's time to get sexy, so watch Secular Sexuality live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/ytss and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callsex.
That is right, folks. Get excited because it's time for another episode of Talk Heathen. Today is Sunday, July 24th, 2022, and I'm your host, Secular Rarity. And joining me today is a man who is so knowledgeable and personable that, honestly, I get a little jealous sometimes. Hey, Kenneth, how are you?
I'm good. Hi. I'm coming to you today from Dan's closet.
The acoustics
in here are great.
That's interesting. We will talk about how you got into Dan's closet at the end of the show. So make sure everybody out there watching is sticking around with us. Yeah. But you were actually you were just on like TikTok or something. It's some new hip app that the kids are into.
I'm addicted to it.
There was something that a bunch of people kept saying to you that was kind of interesting. What was that?
I've been getting like a shocking amount of people who will say that for there to be atheists, that there has to be a God for them to not believe. And the idea would be that the existence of atheists is in some sense evidence for the existence of the God that they allegedly don't believe in.
Interesting. Yeah. So would there also have to be like unicorns and pixies? Not believe in them as well?
To not believe in something, it has to exist. So leprechauns.
Here's one of the weird thoughts that I have. And this might be totally off base. But if we're saying that something exists, yes, and then we're saying that we don't believe in it,
correct,
aren't we kind of like saying that we've demonstrated the existence of the thing? Aren't we kind of like being contradictory right there? If that's the case, like if we show that God exists and then we go, oh, I don't believe in the existence of God, wouldn't that be a problem? I mean, maybe I'm just not understanding.
I don't know. What I'm hoping is that somebody will call into the show today with evidence for the existence of the God, and that'll just put this whole thing to rest forever.
That would do it. And good news for you, Kenneth, is that Talk Heathen is in fact a live call-in show, and we do have open lines. So give us a call at 512-991-9242 or from your computer at tiny.cc/callth. We do have already a few really good calls I am super excited about, but we have open lines. So if you're out there and you have something interesting or you heard what Kenneth and I just said and you think you have a good understanding of it, reach out to us and let's try to figure this out together. But before we grab a call, let me make some announcements. Talk Heathen is a product of the Atheist Community of Austin, a 501c3 organization dedicated to the promotion of positive atheist culture and the separation of religion and government. And there are a lot of awesome ways that you can support Talk Heathen and the ACA. You can go to Patreon, tiny.cc/patreonth. Sorry about that. And you can support us there. It's very, very simple. You just click a couple of buttons and type a couple of things. But even easier, you can just like this video. It's a little thumbs up thing. It's down below. Right next to it is going to be something about subscribing to the channel. If you haven't done that already, make sure you do and enable those notifications so you know when we're going live and having fun. Also, comment below on your favorite caller, or maybe you just want to know more about how Kenneth got into Dan's closet. We don't know whose closet he'll be in next time, but we will find out. Yeah. Also, you can become a channel member. Just click the join button below this video right here. You'll get custom chat emotes and you will help perpetuate the mission of Talk Heathen and the atheist community of Austin. And finally, below the live chat, we have a fundraiser. 100% of the proceeds go directly to the ACA. YouTube does not charge any fees, and that is a super, super great way to help support. With that being said, what do you think about going out to Nevada here real quick, Kenna?
I trust your judgment.
That is a terrible way to start the show, but I do. we've got Marco, he, him in Nevada. It sounds like you have something interesting for us today. How are you? And what do you want to talk about?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you guys?
Yeah, not too bad. Doing great.
Okay, cool. So I understand the speculation on the existence of God and especially wanting proof, because I grew up a Christian out here. I moved out here from California very early, and I did go to Sunday school as a kid. And the first thing, you know, growing up in elementary school, I thought of going to Sunday school right across the street from my elementary school. I was like, man, a lot of this stuff sounds like fiction that I'm reading right over there at my school, which, you know, how does the staff turn to a snake? How does a whale fly up in the air, you know, from all these things that I know to be logic on earth, you know? So then it really led me to question my faith and my beliefs. So I asked my friends, and then very young, you know, 10 to 12 years old, my friends would tell me, oh yeah, you know, I'm an atheist. We don't worship Jesus Christ and all these things inside my household. And I was like, okay. So I had this speculation for a while going into middle school, where I was this atheist and I didn't believe that, you know, there was any afterlife. I didn't believe in any supernatural, just because I knew only the things that I looked at and only the things that I could chalk up to physical proof and matter.
Marco, so can I just jump in for a second and just say, I love all this. I think it's very interesting. If you and I had more time just to sit, you know, drinking some tea, we could gladly keep going down that route. It looks like you have a personal revelation of God. And I think that's going to be something that's the most important for myself and Kenneth. And then of course, all our viewers here today and in the future, what was that personal revelation? I mean, I'm going to take the stance that you're probably a reasonable person. You probably want evidence just like the rest of us. But yeah, what's that personal revelation?
Yeah, I was kind of giving you a prologue onto this personal revelation. So I basically became agnostic in high school. And I was just smoking a lot of weed at the time. I was doing a lot of drugs and stuff like that. And then this personal revelation I had over my friend's house one night is that, you know, we were dabbling in drugs. You know, somebody can chalk up your feelings and my feelings and a lot of things that people, a lot more feelings that people get on these drugs, this chemical imbalance and whatnot. Or you could chalk up anybody's feelings to imbalance. So, you know, you really can't care for anybody's feelings if you think about it that way. But this personal revelation I had was all of a sudden, all these inanimate objects and media, you know, something as simple as a TV show or a song, started reflecting my own personal experiences in my life and how I chose to, you know, treat people that I knew personally. I treated them very badly, you know, in the past and stuff like that. You know, it's kind of like the coincidences, you know, that somebody would say, oh yeah, how coincident I look, you know, how much of a coincidence I look up and I see the time 777 or 666, whatever, you know, and, or, you know,
you probably neither of those.
That'd be weird. On the clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be though, like
neither of those. How funny that I say that. Any time under that, of course, that would fall on the clock. You know,
Marco, can I just shout back to you and see if you and I are on the same page? Make sure I'm following with you. Because what it kind of sounds like to me is that you were in a place where you weren't exactly super happy, maybe. You were feeling kind of just bummed in general, stuck in a rut. Something I think, you know, probably all of us can relate to. And one night, as you were dabbling in drugs, as you said it, with your friends, you had a particularly profound experience. Is that, am I tracking with you so far?
The argument from tripping balls.
It kind of followed me into my sober life.
Yeah, I get that. Can I shout though to you a story that a buddy of mine told me? So about 4 years ago, a friend of mine was, you know, not really happy with their job, and like they just like got broken up with, and you know, they just weren't super happy. And they sat down one day and they did a shit ton of acid. And in the middle of that, they called me and they said, I know this isn't going to make any sense to you, Rarity, but years from now, a man named Marco from Nevada will call and tell you about a story, and that story will be wrong. Do you think my friend's experience is actually relating to reality, or do you think maybe there's something else going on? Because his story sounds pretty similar to yours, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, if it were to actually happen and you said that past in the past tense, what would you feel about that?
If I'm sorry, ask the question again. Say it again.
If your friend in this past, you know, is claiming, you know, mm-hmm. if your friend had this profound drug experience and he have never met me and never mm-hmm. have experienced me, mm-hmm. that, and he told you, hey, you're going to get a call from a guy named Marco from Nevada in the future. And you do get a call from a guy
and
named
gonna
Marco
be wrong.
From Nevada in the future.
It's specific. And it's specific towards wrong. Your claim, though, Marco. Yeah. Yeah. My friend told me that you would call me.
Yeah. And yeah. So in your belief of something higher or, you know, higher power than you, if he received this message from something higher than him, which he would be claiming, oh my God, like this is crazy. I received this crazy message. And, you know, it did come into fruition that I was wrong in the future or whatever, but he was right. Wouldn't something higher and more authority than him in the physical realm and in our earth have told him something?
No. And I'm going to let Kenneth tell you why.
SR, you already said that your friends did some drugs before calling you. So mm-hmm. I don't know how much higher this authority needs to be, but tis. But
like, high enough to read the future, I think, would be crazy, right?
Well, hang on a second, Marco.
Here's the thing, man. With respect to any given experience, what does the experience itself tell us about the cause or the nature of the experience?
The cause and the nature. So that's what I was going to get to explaining before you kind of wanted to chalk up the experience up to just, you know, kind of tripping balls, which I understand. Well, but then I realized,
neither of us chalked up the experience to anything. Neither of us have made any judgment about what caused your experience. At this point, who knows how many candidate explanations could be on the table. Certainly not me. But that's why I'm asking the question I'm asking. Because like all of us are constantly having experiences. What does an experience tell us about the cause or the nature of an experience?
I'm not exactly understanding the question. Like, so you're asking what the experience has any proof of God in it, or the experience
essentially, yeah. So like so you've had an experience, you're telling us, and you're, you know, I'm sort of preemptively saying, because of what you told the call screeners, that you've attributed this experience to something divine. But like how do you know? You know, how did you rule out, you know, I'm not even going to address drugs. How did you rule out that you're being pranked by a mischievous wizard? I don't know.
How'd you rule out aliens?
My own personal life became kind of like what I felt like was a joke, you know, from this prank that I kind of received. I was like, well, you know, I was just on drugs, you know, so I'm just going to take a break off these drugs. So I went kind of cold turkey after that. I had smoked for a bit, but then I went cold turkey off weed and everything for about a year and a month. And it immediately, almost immediately, every which way around the world, you know, I would go over a friend's house, family's houses, anywhere. And this kind of haunting and something in my own sober life was kind of following me, and not necessarily from the past. It was in real time in any scenario with people that I knew in my own personal life. And, you know, you can go as far as to say, oh, you know, synchronicity and coincidence is nothing but just that, you know, just random coincidence. But, you know, if you were to have a dream, let's say, and this is hypothetically speaking, but also my own personal experience, if you were to have a dream, say that you were burning in hell, right? And you were to wake up, and for every month, or, you know, for months at a time, you know, somebody would open up that door exactly before you could even open your eyes. And you had a dream that you were burning in hell, and somebody would say, hey, Marco, is it a bit hot in here?
Marco,
is it a bit?
Marco,
or, hey,
I'm sorry. Like, we're so far off the rails here. Mm-hmm. I've got to try to drag us back, because somehow we got from I had an experience with God to now we're talking about dreams and synchronicity and all kinds of other shit. Like, let's just deal with the one thing. So you had an experience. Like, how can you, and you're saying that you know what the nature of that experience was, what the cause of the experience was, and that it was supernatural. How do you know that?
How do I know it was supernatural?
Yeah.
Well,
let's just keep it simple, man.
It's kind of this intelligence as to where, like, you know, it's kind of just these weird things that you can chalk up to just mere coincidence or just speculation and own personal experience and revelation. But, you know, when you realize that something could use potentially other things that you see as source material for whichever you would use for whether judgment or, you know, condemnation onto somebody's own person, something to pull something or for that, something that you can't really recognize beyond your own speculation of just matter, you know, has an intelligence and a morality to also bring these, whether past memories, and associate them with real matter.
Marco, I'm going to rein you in just a little bit. Cause we weren't really going towards kind of the thrust of what Kenneth was going. But something you said there is really interesting to me. And I've heard this kind of similar concept said by a lot of different people who believe in things that I don't come to the same conclusions on. You said that there's this entity that you can't really recognize, you don't really understand. Why in one sentence are you claiming that you can't understand this thing and then telling us the understanding? Yeah. Do you feel like that maybe butts up against each other and just kind of has some tension there?
Do you believe that you understand any teacher that is any type of source material that comes from something or a person? Would you say that you understand that person fully from something merely?
Well, no, that's not at all. That's not at all where we're going. So the issue isn't about having complete and total knowledge. The issue is just getting to the very, very smallest of tiniest of littlest of steps of knowledge and demonstration, right? If what we have at the end of the day is just a very large question mark, how do we then ascribe any attributes or qualities of any kind? If you know that you don't understand this thing, how do you then from there go on to explain it and understand it? Because I think that's kind of where Kenneth was going from the beginning, which is kind of where I was going with that silly little story of mine about my buddy. I don't even have any friends, so that story wasn't true. But as somebody who's not Hindu, as somebody who doesn't believe that crystals have power, as somebody who doesn't accept the whole Jesus Christ, Son of God, died on a cross, all that stuff. Like, I don't come to the same conclusion as a lot of different people, but all of those people make claims that conflict with each other. And when they conflict with each other, it's hard for me to be able to kind of figure out which one is real. And that's kind of what kind of our whole message this whole time has been, which is, do you really feel like you have a solid way of being able to say this experience is because of X, and X being that supernatural divine? And if you do have that answer,
100%.
Well, what is it? Well, what is it, Marco?
Because what we've had so far was, I don't know, like, I can't explain the nature of this experience. I can't call it a coincidence. Right. Therefore, it was God. Mm-hmm. And that is just a big old leap that you're making that's not justified yet. So if you're going to justify it, now would be the time.
Well, unfortunately, man, you know, you could leave a lot of things up to speculation, which, you know, is knowledge that you already have, right? And all I could give you is really this, if, you know, kind of foreseeing the road this would have to go down, is, you know, what I've kind of said before is that if, you know, say if you met another human and you don't understand or know anything about that human, but he had...
come on, man. SR was just saying, do you have a solid way to demonstrate the truth of what you're claiming? Yeah. And you were like, 100%. Yeah, 100%, 100%. And now you're doing the bullshit thing again.
Well, listen, man, I don't know. I'm just trying to stay respectful of the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I think you've been super respectful.
You're asking for a solid proof. And that's the thing, is that in the Bible, me personally, I can't give you an honest, solid proof. You know,
Stop right there, Marco. Here's why. Because that is a beautiful freaking thing to admit. That is something that is so difficult for so many people who feel so damn sure of things. It's something about us as people that we really like that assurance. Oh. We really like that solid feeling that we understand. And simply just saying out loud, hey, I actually don't have a good way to determine this. I actually don't have a good reason to believe this. Well, good. Now there's things you can do. Yeah. Now you know where to start, and you know to start investing.
Well, that's the thing, is that, you know, my own, I kind of got to explaining in the first place was my own personal concrete evidence of things that I've experienced that are beyond just what I could chalk up to physical matter is, you know, of courses of action and a line of events that I've seen with my own eyes. But it's not necessarily a rock that I could pick up in front of you and show you. And I can't explain it to you with...
But do you see how we're back to where we started, as if we didn't have that whole conversation about how there's competing claims from multiple people that all believe things that Kenneth and I don't believe, and we're just trying to figure out which one of you is right? Do you see how we're back to that again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the issue.
We're also butting up against a problem.
But the same way that you could ask me to prove that there is a God is the same way that I could ask you to prove that there isn't a God. And that's why
I don't think either Kenneth or I would definitively say that there is no 100% can't possibly be a God. I think mainly what we've been saying, especially on this call, is that we just don't agree with the conclusion that you have. You have the conclusion there is a God. And Kenneth and I are just saying, great, show us. And currently what you said is you don't have a manner of doing that, and you don't have a way to determine between competing claims that are all talking about the same God.
Yeah.
So
and,
go ahead.
Just a minute ago, you used the word evidence.
Hang on, Marco.
I promise I'll be fast. You used the word evidence, and this is a sticking point for me, because a lot of the times, colloquially, when I'm talking to people, they use the word evidence to just mean the reasons why they believe something. But I think that that's not what evidence is. I think evidence is anything that can be used to demonstrate that a claim is true. There has to be some relationship between the evidence and this usefulness for demonstrating the truth of a claim, for it to be evidence in the first place. All right. I have to say the whole thing of like, well, you know, you can't provide evidence that the God isn't real. You're absolutely right. So like in the same way right now, it may look, if you're watching, it may look like I'm sitting in a chair, but if I said I'm not sitting in a chair, I have a shape-shifting pet dragon named Steve, and Steve has formed himself into what looks like a chair, but I'm really sitting on my shape-shifting pet dragon. Okay. You can't prove that claim is false. You cannot prove that that claim is false.
Well, yeah,
but you are not justified in believing that it is true. You're not listening, Marco. Yeah.
But do you believe
you can't
prove that?
You're still not listening. You're still not listening because I haven't even finished speaking and you're already talking. So you can't prove that that the claim about the dragon thing is false, but recognize that you're not justified in believing that the claim is true. In the same way, if you're going to say, oh, you had an experience with God, I can't prove that what you're saying is false. Right. But if you don't have evidence that it's true, then nobody should believe you, including yourself.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Marco.
Yeah, but okay, so hear me out. You're saying that I don't have this concrete evidence that that God is real, and I can't really write it down on paper for you, and I can't give you a verbal equation like I'm trying to give you right now. But the thing is that math is something that exists. We know math to be something real. And, you know, you can say math is something that man created, but math is something that man discovered, right? So if somebody, or if Albert Einstein, somebody were to come to you and write an equation down on paper, and they were to write this down, and we all live by math. You live by math. You believe in math. But, you know, the equation is something that you wrote down on paper is merely proof of math, or not, you could call it proof of math. But at the same time, it's not necessarily proof, but something of human speculation and something that we line up with weird synchronicities and with things, with characters that we have made up, like letters and numbers. Now,
Marco, real quick here, because we do have some other really, really great callers, and we've already been, man, I know you hear me. I know you do. But I got you muted for a second, Marco, because I just got one little quick question. I know I have really enjoyed this. I hope you have too. Hopefully it gives you some things to kind of go and think about afterwards. Do you feel that you were just answering Kenneth's question? Do you feel like you could shout back to me in just maybe a quick sentence or two, kind of the main theme of what Kenneth was just getting at? Because I think exactly what he just said is just so freaking golden that I just want to make sure that everybody knows that concept. So he was talking about a pet dragon being his chair. Do you think you could just kind of shout back to us maybe a quick sentence what that was? Kenneth said.
Elaborate again.
Yeah, it's okay. Kenneth, a few moments ago before I was talking, Kenneth spent a good few minutes laying out really well kind of the thrust of what he and I have been asking about. It was all right. It was fine. But he laid this concept out and he used an analogy of like a shape-shifting dragon that changes into a chair and stuff. Can you kind of shout back what the main theme of what Kenneth was saying was for me real quick?
No, I can't really understand
that. That's okay.
That question.
That's
really,
that is okay, Marco. And here's why. Hang out with us, because we're gonna let you go, and we'll run through it one more time. So just find us on the YouTube and watch this back, man, and just go through it. Like, that's been so valuable to me, being able to have conversations with people in a recorded format like this, because I can go back and I can look at things and I can say, oh my gosh, like I didn't have a good answer to that, or oh no way, like
like I totally just went on a tangent there. But Marco, thank you so much for giving us a call and hanging out. I thought it was a really, really good time. And we do have some other great callers. But Kenneth, real quick, could you shout to me in maybe a sentence or two what you were thinking? Yeah, just because I think it's a really good point.
It's Russell's teapot, man. It's just, you know, when is it time to believe a claim? Yeah. And people will do this all the time of going, well, you can't prove God's not real. And I will always say, correct. That is right.
Got me.
And I don't try to. I mean, I'll say that with certain gods, depending on how they want to define their god, we might be able to determine whether that god is real or not. But if you're just going to say you can't prove that this unfalsifiable thing isn't there, then it's like, well, yeah, no, I can't. So I would say go read up about Russell's teapot, because old Bertrand explains it a million times more eloquently than I possibly could.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. And with that, we're going to get to some other announcements before we grab another call. If you already are shopping on Amazon, you can support the ACA at no cost to you. All you got to do is visit tiny.cc/AmazonSmileACA and designate the Atheist Community of Austin as your selected charity, and Amazon will donate a portion of their profit directly to the ACA. So that's awesome. Plus, the Talk Heathen merch store is back. That's right, folks. tiny.cc/merchACA. You can get all your favorite things like t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs. There's beanies, cell phone cases, and tote bags even. And I have been told it's super secret, but there is a special limited edition item each month. So you gotta go check that out, folks. Also, we have a channel that houses all of the shows on the ACA in audio podcast form. If you don't want to see Kenneth and my beautiful smiling faces, we understand. And you can just go to tiny.cc/AEN podcast and you can hear all the great stuff there.
It's a rough and watch.
It is. It's tough for us, but we manage somehow. And finally, you can become a part of the Talk Heathen community in our fan-run Facebook page at tiny.cc/FBTHG. A super, super great place. Lots of really wonderful people. Kenneth, are you there? Are you on the page? Okay,
this thought came to me a moment ago when mm-hmm. the Talk Heathen merch was up and there was like a stringer tank top looking thing. So I live in the Midwest mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I've told some friends recently about how at the gym that I go to, there are a number of people who wear these like God's Army, like t-shirts, like like mm-hmm. Jesus, just whatever. There was a guy at the gym yesterday who had a hat and it was like one of those Jesus fish and it was eating like an evolution fish. And it's like that kind of stuff. And I see like, it's every time I go to the gym, I see people wearing their sort of like religious propaganda. And these people freak me out. I like, what kind of like darkness must exist in their lives for them to feel like they need to compensate in this way? But that's a whole other thing. If somebody gets Talk Heathen tanks or tea and takes a picture of them at their gym wearing one, every time you do that, we'll pick a charity. I'll put a post up on the Talk Heathen thing later. And for everyone, I'll donate $5 to a charity. So yeah.
Very simple, folks. You're
gonna go get your lift on wearing a Talk Heathen tank top. Yes. So we'll do that on the Facebook later today.
Those links again, tiny.cc/merchACA, tiny.cc/FBTHG. So let's get on that. Let's make Kenneth stay, y'all.
Yeah.
I would like to go all the way to Europe. You want to go to Europe with me, Kenneth?
I would love to go to Europe.
What are you doing? What are you doing like next weekend? No, I'm sorry. We've got with us Barry, giving us a call from Europe. Hey Barry, it kind of sounds like you got a little stuff going on. What's up? Talk to me and Kenneth.
Yeah, hey man, it's so good to hear you. Just to get that out of the way, English is not my first language, so please bear with me
great.
If I quite don't understand something on the first go, and be patient with me, okay?
Of course.
No worries, you're doing great, trust me.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do I start? I mean, I would love to hear your input on how to manage all of that stuff that's going on. I've been like an evangelical Christian for many, many years, since I was about 8. I'm 29 now, and I married inside this evangelical community that I'm in or was in, and all my whole family life and marriage is based on the Christian faith and all of this stuff. And I started my deconversion like maybe 2 years ago, and have been questioning everything, and have been excessively using all of the ACA shows as a tool for deconversion, and read up on a lot of books, and only recently.
So you're already doing a lot, Barry.
And only now, 2 weeks ago, I told my wife that I was no longer a Christian, and it was so hard for me to do that. But also she was really, really sad about it, and I can understand somehow, because you know, when you marry someone and you're in the fold and you are in the same like community and you both believe in God and you're both born again Christians, as they call it, and suddenly your partner tells you that he's no longer a Christian, I mean, that must be a pretty big shock, isn't it?
For sure. And I would say recognizing that, Barry, is, I would think that would be super helpful in navigating this. And before I say anything else, I have to say two things that I think are super important. One, I'm definitely not an expert. But two, there are a bunch of experts, and they just happen to hang out at this awesome organization called Recovering From Religion. And you can find links for that, I know, on so many different fan-run pages for the ACA. You can find it in the chat going on right now, I'm sure in the description, just freaking everywhere, because so many of us value that place. And it is a place where people exactly in your position can call in and be able to bounce some ideas off of a bunch of different people who have been trained and have an ability to be able to link you towards some other really good people. And they're worldwide, man. You can call them any freaking time. You can go on the website any freaking time. And that is going to be incredibly, incredibly important, I think, in this for you. And honestly, for all of us, like, it wouldn't hurt for every single one of us just to give them a call every so often. I think for sure one of the things that's always going to have to be at the forefront of your mind is what is your goal? What is your goal in all of this? And that can be difficult to figure out, and that can be difficult to, keep making progress towards. But if your goal is to be your authentic self, well, just be prepared that there may be some upsetting consequences that come with that. If your goal is to just stay with your wife and child, no matter what it takes, well, understand that there are some consequences that come with that too, right? But at the end of the day, that compassion that you showed when you were explaining this to us, Barry, when you said, look, I imagine this has to be a fucking lot for my wife. I think that keeping that throughout everything is going to result in better actions. Kenneth?
Yeah. I think that if I were in your shoes, I would... So previously, you and your spouse and in this community of yours, you all had this shared set of beliefs, right? That you could rally around and share that commonality with your wife.
Yeah, there was a lot of beliefs.
No, I hear you. I've seen, okay, so I'm a big fan of street epistemology. And I really like that when trying to have like difficult conversations with people where you have competing beliefs, you can often find some common ground at the outset by just asking stuff like, hey, like we both want to believe true things, right? And if you were to sit down with your wife and go, hey, look, we're arriving at some different conclusions right now, but we really want to believe true things. Maybe we can talk about what the best methods are for trying to believe as many true things and as few untrue things or false things as possible. And we can see, you know, where we land. And rather than focus on the differences in your beliefs, you can focus on your shared values, shared principles, shared goals, and maybe focus on methodology first and foremost and go, okay, we want to believe true things. You want to believe true stuff. I want to believe true stuff. Right now, you know, we're landing in different places. What do we do? And see where that takes you. And rather than being adversarial, which I'm not suggesting that you would be, but rather than go, hey, listen, I am now enlightened and I want to help you out of your primitive and stupid beliefs.
Yeah,
you
know, don't do that. Don't do that.
People do that. People do that and then go, I don't know why my relationship turned to shit. And it's like, well, go figure. Yeah. So I would highly recommend watching some street epistemology videos.
Nabosco, he's a hero. He's such an interesting guy. And I like that.
But, you know, I mean, it's so hard arguing with someone who flat out denies every single criticism of their religion. Like back when I was in the fold and was in the community and started asking questions, I was always told, yeah, you don't have to ask questions. Just believe it. You have to believe it. And if something sounds improbable and something sounds impossible, it's just because, you know, we don't have to explain it. We can't explain it. And that's all you're gonna get. So I've been trying to reasonably talk with her, but it was not it was not successful. And she does not understand that I kind of can't go back. So when I told her, she said, oh, I think it's just a phase. It's just a phase, and you're gonna drop back into the Christian faith, and you're gonna be just the same believer as you were before, and you're gonna come back.
And so, that's,
you know, you might want to get like a some sort of therapist or counselor involved here. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, I mean, that's probably your best move is to get a professional there who can help sort of mediate this process.
Yeah. There's something, Barry. There's something really, really powerful, it seems, when humans get together and we talk to just like one-on-one. Like Kenneth and I could go at it for like an hour straight, just arguing. And then there's something about adding another person, that other set of ears, to sit there and go, hey, wait a second. And even more so, right, when it is a trained professional who does this all day, every day. This is what they care about. And again, that awesome organization, Recovering From Religion, the Secular Therapy Project as well. Those two are phenomenal, phenomenal things. And there's so many wonderful advances these days that honestly, sometimes it's super easy and just the right thing. Just do a little Facebook Live thing or something, right? Just hop on a video chat with somebody and just say, hey, this is kind of how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking. And then your wife says, hey, this is what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling. And it's not a blame thing. It's not a attack the other person thing. It's just a straight up, here's what's going on in my head. I want to put it all out there. I want it to be in its entirety. And then when that kind of gets all mixed together with that third person, that therapist that has been trained for this, again, I've seen it time and time again. We can predict it time and time again. We see better outcomes. It doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy or that it's going to take one phone call and that's it. It's not going to be like that, most likely. But if you do care and you do want to achieve an outcome that's beneficial for you and your partner and your kid and just your community, you can do that. And one of the best ways to do that is talking with some other people about it. And hey, hang out in the Fan Run Facebook page for this show and other ACA shows. Oh, nice. Go hang out in the Fan Run Discord and just, you know, find some people and say, hey, look, I'm struggling with some stuff. Does anybody have any thoughts? Like, that's really, really helpful. Barry, anything else? You want to wrap us up? We may have lost. Oh, we did. We lost connection. That's okay. Because you know why that's okay, Kenneth? Did you know that the ACA has other shows other than just Talk Heathen?
I'm a fan.
Yeah. Oh, man. Let me tell you about the nonprofits. That is one of my favorite shows that goes on here. And it's actually going to be airing later today, I think at 3 p.m. Central.
Some would say the flagship show.
Some would say that. And I think they're justified. They're justified in that true belief. Yeah. But there's also Secular Sexuality, Truth Wanted, and Atheist Experience. And if for whatever strange reason you didn't see those shows last week, here's a taste of what you missed.
You know, when is the right time to bring up that I'm bisexual?
For me, definitely not a first date thing, but a before you thing. And then if it's a problem for them, I'd be like, okay, well, you know, I hope you enjoyed your chicken parmesan and have a nice night.
Yeah, I understand. I need to have empathy, right? I need to have compassion for others because that's what Jesus wants. But I can't accept your marriage as legitimate, or I can't accept that you having sexual relations with this person is also legitimate. You know, it's like there's terms and conditions to your compassion.
Well, the 19th century, I'm going to do this in a particular voice. The 19th century is a strange time. Science was coming into its own. Religious people were starting to realize that perhaps the Bible may not be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
If I had a vision of, I don't know, Jesus, some really, really white guy with blonde hair, and this Jesus comes and says to me, you know, come and take my hand, my son, I would think, oh no, someone slipped some drugs into my yerba mate.
Let's go, Jim. He, him, in Idaho. What's your proof of God?
It's in the Bible and it says so!
Okay. You got us, buddy. You got us.
He was awful for like 30 minutes for that.
And we are back. And remember, folks, today, 3 p.m. Central Time, live, the flagship show of the ACA, the nonprofits, will be airing. And you can find that at tiny.cc/YTNP. So go check out some great stuff. And also, the ACA wants you to know what is going on in our community. And for that, we've got an updated website. Head to atheist-community.org, where you can learn about the organization itself, its policies, and how you can get involved. And that is awesome that that is out there and so easy for you to go follow and stay connected with us. And finally, we do want to hear from you. We want to know what you like, what you thought was effective, and more importantly, what you think we can do better. That's always the goal here. And there's an easy way to tell us. You can just email us at tv@atheist-community.org and let us know. You can also post a comment, by the way, like say that, you know, post a comment that says like that rarity guy is so freaking awesome. Or Kenneth is. I mean, that's fair too. He's okay. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking 14.
You like 14?
I like 14.
Let's do it. We have a friend, Steven, he, him in USA. It sounds like you've got historical evidence for Jesus. I think Kenneth and I would love to hear that, Steven. What have you got for us?
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I do have some evidence and I wanted to kind of bring it to the table. I am a Christian fundamentalist, so I believe that if I have any evidence, it would be in the Bible. So that's how we know about God. So I wanted to give some of that, if that's all right.
Yeah, just real quick. Is that what you mean by historical evidence, that it's in the Bible, it's written down in the Bible?
No, we have archaeological evidence, one that you know, crucifixion existed and how it was performed. Mm-hmm. And so then and Kenneth might actually relate to this since he was also in apologetics, which I was told he was saying on TikTok. So he'd probably know a little, some of these prophecies. So I just want to give a few that, you know.
Yeah, we'll start with one and pause. Let's do that. Start with one, we'll pause, Kenneth and I say something.
Okay, so we do have historical evidence that Roman crucifixion existed, correct?
Yeah,
agreed.
Okay, and we do know how it was performed.
There's dispute, but for the most part, we have a pretty good understanding, but sure.
Okay, so yeah, so do you have your Bibles with you, since we're actually, I mean, do you guys have Bibles with you?
No.
Curious.
But
not next to me. Okay. I don't have any holy books.
By all means, continue.
Yeah, please. We got lots of ways to figure this out. So if you're going to bring up a verse or something, go ahead.
All right. So in Psalms 22, which we know when the Psalms were written. Okay. We have very, very good evidence when the Psalms were written. Uh-huh. And it would suggest that the Psalms were written about 660 years before it was even kind of thought of or invented. You know, okay. The Persians invented kind of an impalism, which then the Romans perfected into what we now know as crucifixion. Okay. Anyway, enough said. So if we go to Psalms 22, verse 16, it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. The assembly of the wicked have encompassed me. Okay. So we can just stop there because.
Sure. What do you think that that proved? What do you think that line that you just read is indicating to us?
Well, it's showing details of a future event, not just a future event that's happening, but it's showing details into the future of what was going to happen to the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
What was it? Could you read it again real quick? Maybe I misheard it.
It says, they pierced my hands. Yeah, they pierced my hands and my feet.
They will pierce my hands, or they pierced?
They pierced. They just pierced.
So that sounds past tense. Like it sounds like it's describing an event that happened to a person, right? It doesn't sound like it's talking about the future. Just on the plain text reading, right?
It was a Psalm of David.
Yeah.
Right. It's a Psalm of David. It's a poetry. It's definitely poetry, but it was also quoted by Jesus on the cross. Because if you go to the first verse, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Attributed,
Which we know. Yeah, so it's attributed to a prophecy because Jesus quoted it on the cross.
Again, no, that's the attribution. So it sounds like you're saying that verse is prophesying something. Like, it's giving us something about the future. What is it saying about the future?
It's saying that the Messiah will come, and he will be pierced in the hands and the feet, which we know, you know, most people who are, you know, non-Christian or Christian know that Jesus was crucified on a cross, and his hands and his feet were pierced. Is that correct? I mean, so, we do agree on that, right? As far as the story is told.
If like, I want to be as charitable as possible. So if we're looking at this, and we're like, okay, we've got the Bible. We've got a passage in the Old Testament written way before the Gospels. Let's say that this, let's say that this is referring to the Messiah. And then, you know, centuries later, we've got the book says that the Messiah's hands and feet were pierced. What does that tell us?
Mm-hmm. Well, it tells us that, you know, we don't have to consider a few things. You know, did the Romans create crucifixion based on the Bible?
I don't know why that would even matter.
Punishment. Yeah, I don't know.
Let's say it was completely independent.
Yeah, no, it definitely would matter, because if something was written, you know, 1,000 years before a person was born, and then have them be crucified, and then you're attributing that prophecy that Jesus quoted to that particular time that happened, that we all know. So,
well, there's a number of problems here that I'm sort of hesitant to draw attention to yet. But so, okay, I'll ask the first question and just to see how this goes. How do we know what Jesus said about anything ever?
Well, we have the Gospels.
Okay.
We have prophets.
If the Gospels say that Jesus said certain things during his crucifixion, like, how do we know that that's true?
Do we just take the book at its word?
Well, we do. Here's the thing. If you take those things out of the equation, what Jesus said and all that, we do know. Here's what we do know. We have archaeological evidence.
Well, no. Hang on, Stephen. Stephen, I want to be as nice and polite as I can be. I'm asking you just a very simple question. We've got the Gospels say that Jesus said certain things during his crucifixion. Mm-hmm. How do we know that's
true? Well, we're drawing back. The prophecies that I'm giving you are attributing to...
I'm not talking about the prophecies. I'm just asking you, the Bible says that at a certain point in Jesus's life, Jesus said certain words. How do we know he said those words?
Right.
Well, and your response?
We have historical evidence that he said it. We have what is like 14,000 manuscripts, copies, I should say.
So if we have a bunch of copies,
discovered America.
Yeah, if we have a bunch of copies that say that Jesus said certain words, how do we know that the source material for all those copies? How do we know that it's correct? How do we know it's true?
Well, because it was written after. It was written after the fact. And we have the historical evidence, like I said, of Roman crucifixion. We know for a fact, here's some facts that we do know. Jesus lived during the time of Julius Caesar.
None of this has anything to do with what I'm asking you.
Yeah,
Stephen, try to focus here.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example, a parallel. There's a story about George Washington cutting down a cherry tree. Okay. And there's a quote that's attributed to George Washington when his father asks, hey, what happened to the cherry tree? The George Washington says, I cannot tell a lie. I did it with my hatchet. Right. And there are thousands of manuscripts. You could probably walk into any library in America and find some manuscript that contains George Washington saying those words. Do we have good reasons to think George Washington said those words?
No, not really.
Why not? There's lots of manuscripts.
Some evidence.
Well, we know that George Washington was a real person. We've got his own writings. We've got lots of accounts about George Washington and all these manuscripts that say he said these words. Do we have good reasons to believe he actually said them?
He did. Yeah, we have good evidence to believe that he did say those things. Absolutely.
What if I told you that we know the origin of the George Washington cherry tree narrative, that there's a biographer of George Washington who wrote numerous editions of a biography of George Washington, and that the earliest versions of those biographies don't have the cherry tree story, and that those later embellishments were added over time to add to the legend of George Washington. You can go on the Mount Vernon website and read the page about how that story about George Washington and the cherry tree is bullshit. It never happened.
Right.
So
was that written in
how does that
there a book about George Washington that lasted 2,000 to 4,000 years? I mean, we're talking.
But hang on, Stephen. The age of it doesn't matter, right? Because if that's the case, then let me introduce you to the Ramayana and the Upanishads and the Vedas and so forth, right? It's not about the age. It's about the continuity. It's about the consistency of the manuscripts. And if there are multiple manuscripts that have contradictory statements, that presents a problem, doesn't it?
Right, but But the deal, what I'm trying to get at is that, like, it's not just in that verse. I mean, if you even go to Zechariah.
Well, but hang on, before we go to anything else, because remember, what we started with, the agreement that the three of us had is that you had a bunch of historical evidence, and there was no way for Kenneth right. and I, you know, to swat every single thing, and we were just going to go one at a time. Do you feel like now that piece of evidence that you brought up, hang on, Stephen, do you feel like the Psalms reference that you brought us initially, like, do you feel that's as founded as you originally thought? That was the first thing that you started with. We haven't even gotten to, we can go to Zechariah for sure.
I do, because honestly, like, you answer my question with another question, that's fine. But like, I mean, we both know Roman crucifixion existed. We know how it was performed. And so we know when the Psalms were written.
So we agreed on these things, but that doesn't factor into what Kenneth was saying.
In Roman crucifixion, the upper body nails, where did they usually go, Stephen? Mm-hmm.
Well, they went into the wrist.
Not the hands, right?
No. Wrong.
Oh, okay.
Considered the hand.
This is considered the hand. This portion right here, the only portion that's going to be able to actually definitively hold up the human body like that, as opposed to the small.
This is going to turn into the personhood argument with people of like, when is a fetus a person? Like, when is a wrist a hand?
When is a wrist a hand? Yeah. I think it's somewhere about right. Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I don't make up the rules.
Stephen, real quick, do you think in that passage that you read from Psalms, what is the reason that you think it's talking about the Messiah? It doesn't say the word Messiah, right? It doesn't say Jesus.
Well,
why do you think that is talking about the Messiah?
Well, no, they're gonna call his name Emmanuel.
The verse on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken? Most atheists, even people that don't even know about the Bible, know about this particular verse. In the beginning of Psalms 22, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken?
Yeah. Jesus, and George, quoted that cross. And George Washington said he did it with his hatchet, except for he didn't, right? So, again, and this is why I asked you the thing about...
Allegedly.
You know, about, and we could, if you were to throw in Jesus allegedly quoted from the Psalms, I'd be like,
we'd be there with you.
Heck yeah, man.
Yeah.
He sure as shit allegedly did.
Let me give a funny
analogy. Well, hang on, Stephen. You got Stephen. Look, we got a lot of other calls. We are running close. Okay. We'll do this really quick in like 30 seconds. Give us something. Kenneth and I respond. We'll say thanks so much and we'll move on. Okay. Real quick
before you do, I just want to say, like, I personally, I'm not a Jesus mythicist. I think we have good reasons to believe there was an historical Jesus. I even think we have good reason to think this historical Jesus was crucified by Pilate, but I don't see what that has to do with any of these other metaphysical or spiritual or miraculous claims in the Bible.
So 30 seconds, Stephen, give us something and we'll wrap up.
30 seconds. I believe that the Bible predicts the future and is inspired by God. So let's go to Zechariah 12:10, and it says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they will look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one who mourneth for an only son, and shall be in bitterness for him. That's another verse. So
that prophesies what is the prophecy from that verse? What's the thing it's pointing towards in the future?
Now, if you're going to refute the Bible, I'm no offense, but you don't have a Bible on you. You're refuting the Bible because that's, you know.
I don't think I'm refuting the Bible. I'm simply asking you to clarify. And if you can't clarify, Stephen, that's okay. Yeah. I understand. We have other callers, but it's a really simple question. You said that is predicting something about the future. What is it predicting?
Yeah, it was written before the future event. That's called prophecy.
What is it predicting? What are the events?
I'll help you out. Is the future event Jesus being pierced by a spear? Is that where you're pointing at?
He was pierced in the hands and with a spear. Absolutely.
Okay. So is it possible that this is only evidence that the writers of the gospel were familiar with Zechariah?
It would be a really fine coincidence because
I don't think that wouldn't be a coincidence at all.
And
if people who wrote about Jesus as the Messiah put details into their writings that referenced prior writings, that wouldn't be coincidental at all.
Be purposeful.
Yeah.
They'd have done it to specifically convey a message and try to connect dots that may not actually have a connection. So
Were you saying that the evidence for crucifixion and how it was performed was also wrong? I mean,
no, I don't think you're totally listening and following with us, Stephen.
A book can be internally consistent. There can be things that are referenced early in a book that then happen later in a book, and it can have nothing to do with whether the things described in that book actually happened in the real world. Is all I'm trying to get you to recognize and admit.
Yeah. And that, I think that's a beautiful place to start, because that gives you an opportunity to actually try and do that outside test of faith. That when that's you're the person on the outside and you're looking at it, just like we were saying earlier to our first caller, there's all these people making all these claims. There's all these manuscripts making all these claims, and sometimes they contradict. And you kind of need that outsider perspective to really kind of work them out. But Stephen, we appreciate you calling us. Thank you so much. And hang out with us again. It sounded like you had some other things that you kind of wanted to get out there and put to people. And we love that. And there's a bunch of cool places, fan run groups, for the ACA that you can go do that in. But before we do that, I have the privilege. It is a privilege. I have that, whatever that is, to announce the top five patrons. Y'all are just wonderful. Seriously, y'all make this happen in so many awesome ways. And they are, in order: Eric Tweet, Dingleberry Jackson, Balaam's Donkey, Devore Valjean. I think that one's new. The Bearded Skeptic of TikTok, and then an honorable mention to _ Atheism. All of you and everybody else that is out there donating, we really, really appreciate it. You guys absolutely help us out. Let's go up. Let's go. It sounds like we've got somebody here in Canada, Icon, he, him. You had a message from God, it sounds like.
Oh, no. Well, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where I thought and assumed immediately that it was a message from God, but you asked me to take a more scientific approach to it and kind of get rid of some of the other possibilities that it could be. And so I just wanted to call back and let you know how that went.
Yeah, sweet. Where'd you land on that?
So the big factors I wanted to make sure is human, that there was nobody else in the house when I received this message. And I verified the only other person in the house was downstairs. Digital, I wanted to make sure it wasn't any devices, like a TV running in the background and things like that. And the only device that was with me in the shower was my phone, and it definitely wasn't a message that came from my phone. Chemical was the other one that was more difficult, right? Because I do take THC on a daily basis, so I was high at the time when I got that. I've taken the same dose every day for like 5 years, and I hadn't had an experience like that. I know it's not an excuse. It could have still been that. I'm kind of leaning towards that. But I did do some extra experiments. I went out to a cottage this weekend and took some additional hallucinogens to see if I could get any other messages, and wasn't able to replicate it.
So just because I definitely have a couple of other things I could kind of needle in on, but here's what I want to ask, Icon. Where you just ended, I think, is a really, really interesting spot, which is you kind of went out and attempted to run this whole experiment over again, and you took some hallucinogens, which again, like, there's some sticking points there, but let's just move past that. But you didn't get the same results that you got the first time. What do you think says to you?
That I wasn't able to replicate it and receive another message. That it's, I guess there's no consistency with hallucinogens is what I would say.
Do you think it's important to have that consistency?
Messages.
Yeah. But do you think it's important to have that consistency when we're making a prediction about how something's going to happen in the world?
No, for sure. Yeah. I was just trying to think of another way to test that, the hallucinogen theory. And so that's what I came up with, is to take some more. But I didn't get any additional messages. So
do you still think the initial message that you got was from God or a divinity or supernatural or anything like that?
Not God. I have it in unknown. Like I'm going to say, I want to say unknown, honestly, because I am high a lot and I never had an experience like that. So
I will say that is beautiful. That's beautiful, Icon. It is absolutely, absolutely incredible when we say, hey, I just don't know. When it's the honest answer, when we don't have good reason to believe something, when we haven't met that burden of proof, just like Kenneth's dragon changing chair to dragon thing.
Steve,
thank you. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend him. When we have that big question mark, it is abso-freaking-lutely right to say, we just don't know. And then stop. And what I mean by stop is, I don't mean stop investigate. I don't mean stop looking into it further and trying to, well, maybe this and angle this and so forth. But you can't then start to make any additional claims on top of it, because you've already said the most important thing. Hey, we just don't freaking know.
So should I dismiss the message though? Or because I'm still running with it.
Well, you didn't. So the first time that this happened, you took some hallucinogens and you got a message, and you initially attributed that to God of some kind, right?
Because I hadn't experienced anything like it before, yeah.
Sure. And then you tried to recreate something similar, and then it didn't happen, right?
Well, it was different conditions. Like I smoked a bowl before a shower. I smoke a bowl every day and have for like the last 5 years. So I'm not a scientist, but I feel like 5 years is a pretty good sample size of whether you've had an experience like before, right?
Only if you're doing good tests. Only if you're actually doing a good job of trying to mitigate all the different factors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you do something and it isn't consistent, right? And this is what we said earlier. That seems to put it on shakier ground. And I think that's a good place to stand for the moment, in the sense of, hey, again, I just don't know. And I shouldn't continue to accept this initial claim when I kind of tried to test it. And again, not saying everything you did was perfect and would be, you know, for a thesis paper or anything. Look, I'm no freaking scientist. But if I drop something on my toe and it was like right after I said a Bible verse and I was like, man, God, stupid. And then like I dropped this bowling ball on my toe and I'm like, oh, that happened because I insulted the deity. And then I do it again and it doesn't happen. That doesn't mean that there isn't something else going on. But maybe that thing that I initially accepted isn't true. And that's okay. That's a good place to be. That's a good place to be. Because now you can go look into some of the absolutely fascinating things that may provide a little bit more clarity. I don't know if you know who she hangs around this wonderful community, this Shannon Q lady.
Shannon
Q. Thank you.
Q Shannon.
Thank you. Right. But she has some super interesting discussion about all the wacky, wild brain shit that's going on inside of each and every one of us right this moment, Icon. The crazy things going on inside of all three of our brains are so ridiculous and confusing in and of themselves that when somebody says to me like, hey, I heard this the other day and there was nobody there and it had to be a ghost, the very first place that my head goes to is how I have that stuff all the time, because we all do. We all kind of feel like we saw something out of the corner of our eye. We all kind of feel like we heard this thing or somebody calling our name. They're like, yo, secular. That happens regularly because of some things that we actually do have really good evidence to accept as true. There's these whole neural pathways and like this whole ATP and like sodium ion, potassium. Again, I'm not the person you should listen to on that, but you're in a place now where you can.
The only reason we should act on a message is if we think the message is from God. Like as soon as we get a message and it's unknown, it should be dismissed. But the issue is that
it seems to be the case that you may not have actually gotten a message. That's the issue. Whether or not it's from God, it's that you attempted to get another message and you didn't get that message. You didn't get anything. And the question now is the original experience that you had actually connected to the real world? And one way you could find some information on that is by looking at that brainy stuff. That's been really helpful for me.
I'm going to add that to my assignment for this week.
I think there's
tell you real quick the idea that I came up with to continue my message or to
We are gonna have to let you go because we do have a couple of other really great calls that have been waiting for a very long time, and we'd like to get to every single one of them as possible. But give us a call back in if you want to hang out and wait till myself or Kenneth are back on. Please feel free. But also those wonderful fan run Facebook groups too. Okay, go out there and just shout some things and get some feedback from it. That's always really helpful.
Okay. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Icon. All right. We have a couple of people. You got one?
One from the top. I'm intrigued by those top three. Yeah.
Let's do it. Well, we've got Frank, he, him in Georgia. It sounds like you've got a message about where we go after we die. What's up? You're with Kenneth and Secularity.
Hello. How you doing? No. I just want to show the atheists and everyone in the chat and, you know, everyone that's watching where you guys are going to go when you die if you don't believe in Christ. And
where's that?
This is real simple. Atheists go to outer darkness. It's a place worse than hell. Trust me, you don't want to go there, but, you know, that's your choice. Now, if you want to see it, just type this in on YouTube. It's real easy.
Well, wait a minute. Before we start doing URLs and shit.
Yeah.
Frank, why on earth should anybody believe that this is a real place?
Kenneth, you're going to go to Valhalla when you die.
I'd like to go to Cancun or something.
Way cooler.
Cancun exists. I've been there. But Frank, why should anybody believe that this outer darkness thing is real?
Make that circle of the earth.
Frank, why should anybody believe that this outer darkness thing is real?
Okay, it kind of cut. Because outer darkness is a giant snake that circles the earth. Yeah, there's a dead giant snake that circles the earth. And
currently,
they're dead.
Currently, you're saying there's a giant snake in the sky and the atmosphere. There's like seven layers of atmosphere
On the earth,
and you're saying. Oh, no, it's on the earth.
We're walking on top of it.
Frank, the question was, why should anybody believe this
pictures
stuff?
Are right there. They found the body.
So if you see pictures of something on the internet, that means that after people die, they go to the place that you saw the pictures on the internet of?
Yeah, the U.S. Navy took the pictures, and I was like, oh, okay, there it is.
And what was the U.S. Navy's conclusion of those pictures? Did the U.S. Navy say that they believed this was a giant earth-circling dead snake?
Whether they choose to believe it or not, that's up to them. But I know.
But they didn't. You're agreeing that they did not make that conclusion. Is that what you're saying? I just want to be sure we're on the same page. They did not make that conclusion. You are.
They do it more to...
For the sake of conversation, let's just say that there is a giant dead snake wrapped around the earth.
All right.
So this still leaves a lot of issues on the table. Like why would anybody think that anything happens to us as individuals after we die, or that anybody can send us anywhere after we die, or that there are penalties in the afterlife for things that we believe? There are so many claims that you're making that are unjustified. Do you see that?
Yeah, I know, but you can look this up online. They dug into the snake.
Yeah.
You could hear the screams of the atheist
inside the snake.
Yeah,
I feel like we've added on some other things here. We've added on some other things here, Frank, and I don't think we've adequately addressed the handful of things Kenneth was trying to go. One more, give it another swing, Kenneth. Hang on, Frank.
Okay, I'm gonna throw you a softball. Why would we think that anything, like any part of ourselves, survives death?
Knock it out for us, Frank.
Because I believe this. For me, this is simple. This body is a vessel.
Cool.
It's like a car. Okay. We're just using it until it breaks down.
Okay.
So the body doesn't go. There's something else that goes.
Yeah. We're information, because, you know, in order to make a human being, we have to be information of some kind, and we need also a coding. You know, like computer programming. We also have a coding for us also, where this happens and this happens. And this is how we're going to look. This is how we're going to build. This is how we're going to think. And Dodd's the coder.
Hey, Frank.
He's basically just going to grab the information and then basically give us a body.
If there was like a giant snake, like buried in the earth, and that when they, it's always they doing things, when they dug into the snake, they heard the screams of the atheists. I don't know what, like souls can scream, I guess. There's something there to that too.
Yeah.
But okay. So if this happened, why am I like, how come I didn't hear about it? It wasn't like in the news.
This was years ago.
It seems like something we'd still be talking about.
How many, like give me specifics. So my Google search later can be really, really precise. Like what year did they dig into the snake and hear the screams of the trapped atheists?
I have to look it up again, but if I'm correct, I think it's the 1980s.
I was alive in the 1980s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wild. Well, so Frank, get help. I hope you have a great day, you know?
Yeah. And I don't think that snake's real. Do you kind of stand in the same spot with me on that, or are you convinced?
Kind of on the fence, to be honest with you.
Okay. Okay. You're going to be agnostic about it. That's fine. Taking the easy way out.
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't looked into it, if we're being honest.
No, so. I guess that's fair. Okay. That's right. I jumped a little bit too quickly. I said it definitively wasn't
real. Can you prove there's not a dead snake?
I sure can't. So that's why we keep Kenneth Leonard around, folks. He keeps me minding my P's and Q's. But we've got Zach, he, him in Texas. It sounds like you have some proof of God. What you got for us?
Well, so nobody has any definitive proof, just as you guys don't have any definitive proof that there isn't a God. But what I do have are some...
Or the snake.
Yeah. Or some... Exactly, or that snake.
Right.
But I do have some points that can help open your mind to these possibilities. Because, like I said, nobody for sure knows.
Zach, if you've got points, multiples, we'll do the same thing we did earlier. Give us your best. Give us one. Let Kenneth and I respond to it, and we'll move on if we can, okay?
Yeah.
Alrighty. So
what you got?
First point is, in life, for something to be created, it has to have a builder. You can't have a house by throwing a bunch of wood and nails together and it just pops up, right?
Oh, yeah. For there to be a creation, there has to be a creator.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
exactly.
I completely agree.
So shouldn't the earth itself be proof of existence?
Wait a minute. A second ago, we all agreed that for there to be a creation, that necessarily implies that there's a creator.
Right.
How do we know the earth is a creation?
That's the sticking point.
Well, So then my question is, what are your belief standpoints on that? Well, how do you believe?
Hold up.
What do my beliefs have to do with whether or not the earth is a creation, right?
Yeah.
Like, if the earth's a creation, tell us how we can know that.
Well, it's here.
But just because something's here doesn't mean it's a creation, does it?
We can agree that it's here.
So if you're walking down the street and you see a house, just because it's there doesn't mean it's creation. But it being there is proof of a creation with a creator.
Well, that's a really interesting thing, because like if you were to walk down my street, right, and you were to look at my house, you would see my house. You would also see a bunch of plants that aren't very well maintained and some trees in my front yard. How could we tell the difference between the thing that was created and the thing that occurred naturally?
Well, the thing that was created was made, right?
Kind of doesn't offer an explanation. Let me kind of maybe rephrase what Kenneth was saying. What is the criteria when you look at the watch and you look at the beach? What's the criteria that says that the watch is designed and the beach isn't? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Well,
yeah. What's the criteria
here on Earth that have obviously made these, right? Like, you know who made a watch, right?
So prior experience of a creator creating these things in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like we have that for the earth?
No, for the earth. No, nobody was then there. So obviously we don't, which is why nobody can truly
not a super great criteria, is it? That's not a super great criteria when we're talking about the earth, right? Because if nobody was there to like watch it, like somebody makes a watch in front of us, maybe that's not a super, super solid bullet point. What would be another bit of criteria?
To be honest with you, I don't know.
I love that. Kenneth, we have done that a couple of times today.
You've done that.
No.
I couldn't even get the guy to admit that my chair is not a dragon, you know? but Zach, this is an interesting thing that you're landing on here, right?
Yes.
I mean, when we're talking about what we know, what we don't know, when we're justified in making knowledge claims, like that's the whole point of what we do here, right? So when we're talking about stuff like houses and watches and paintings and stuff, like we know these things don't just happen naturally, like as a result of natural processes. We know that human beings create these things, right? When we look at things like trees, like the plants that are going to die because I don't water them in my front yard, those poor plants. We know that plants happen without human intervention. And you can look at the same stuff with respect to the formation of planets and even whole solar system, that these are byproducts of physics and chemistry, not design.
And I want to be clear, Zach, when I got really excited there after you said, I don't know, it's not a gotcha thing.
No.
For me, it took me so long to get to a place where I actually internalized the concept that when I am in a space where I am saying, no, this is right. No, this is right. No, this is how we know. And somebody else can hear all of that and ask me probing questions and get me to a place where I just have to throw up my hands and go, well, I actually don't know a good answer to that. That's a freaking awesome place, man. Yeah. That is a beautiful place to be, because what it means is now you have a path. Now you have a direction that you can go down, and you can look into that, and you can ask questions like, how the heck would we know that? And Kenneth said something really, really good. I mean, we don't see, you know, roaming herds of wild houses running across the plains, but we do with buffalo, right?
Maybe those other guys who took the hallucinogens might, but not us. They're taking some good stuff, that's for sure.
But truly, Zach, I think that is such an important freaking place to be. And that is what is so important about so many shows like this, is we get that opportunity to finally say something out loud to somebody else and have them go, well, hang on, what about this thing? And then you go, oh, shit, I didn't think about that. And that's great, because now what that means is you get more of a chance to think. And there are some really, really fantastic places that you can go. And don't go in with hoping for an outcome. Don't go in trying to get just one side. Just literally go out there and just freaking read it all. I know this is going to sound like it doesn't make much sense, but I swear I'm going to bring it back. But my whole childhood, people would tell me that white chocolate isn't chocolate, that it's just candy. And I'm not going to tell you, the information viewers, you wonderful viewers out there, but I did some fucking looking, and it took me like literally 2 weeks of just going to all kinds of different places. I stumbled on this like 150-year-old, like a Belgian chocolate company, and was just like reading from some of their history about how they built the facility. And the reason that I have a better understanding of that, because it's a lot more nuanced than you would think as to whether or not white chocolate is considered chocolate, especially in the United States.
I was hoping there was going to be an answer at the end of this.
Oh, no.
On the edge of my seat.
I'm going to leave everybody hanging.
God damn it.
But with all of that, Zach, give us like just a quick 30-second, you know, what are your thoughts real quick, and we'll let you go and we'll move on to some other people.
Yeah, well, I mean, just to be clear, you know, I'm not here trying to throw my beliefs onto you and make you believe what I believe, because I know that that's just a hopeless mission, right? But my thoughts are, you know, well, I have some notes here.
That's okay. You can give us a call back. We hang out here regularly, 1 p.m. Central Time on Sundays. It's not always Kenneth and I. There are some other really, really super cool people that get to come here and
we're
chat.
We're always here, in fact. Like when the show
ends.
It's like in Superman 2 when Zod and those dudes are like in that glass thing just hurling through space. That's how we live.
That's what we're like. Yeah,
when
yeah.
Talk Heathen is not broadcasting.
We really should have read our contracts, man. Yeah. That's a bummer. Yeah. Zach, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. And seriously, go over those notes and watch this back when it gets posted. Watch it back and hey, maybe Kenneth and I totally missed something that was obvious. Yeah. Give us a call. But
alrighty.
We appreciate you hanging out with us today for sure. And we're going to see if we can wrap up, grab a couple more. We don't have many more left, so we might be able to. Let's go to Evan in Texas. No pronouns given. It sounds like there's plenty of proof of God you've got. Give us your first one. Give us your best one. We're getting close to the end of the show.
My first one?
Yeah, your best one. Well, I mean,
there's plenty of proof. You don't need to believe it, but there is. Humankind, how we are formed from semen to egg to birth.
Do you think that's proof of God?
There's no other proof when it comes to that. No human could be like, okay, I'm going to take semen and I'm going to make a human.
I mean, we do have in vitro fertilization, right? Where, and I, again, I'm a layman. I'm definitely not an expert, but my understanding is basically, we take it to egg, we take it to sperm, and then we kind of shove it together, and then it does make people.
Evan, I'm going to ask you a question just to try to sort of get like a baseline of where we're approaching this from. Would you mind telling me just how old do you think the world is, our planet?
No one knows. that no one
give us a guess
exact number.
Yeah, I'm asking, like, if you were to give us a ballpark of how old you think the Earth is, what would you say?
It's over 2,000 years.
Over 2,000?
Yes, over 2,000.
How far over 2,000?
Because I'd say currently, I agree with you, Evan.
Yeah.
I have no idea. No one knows.
If we were to say, like, if I was to say the Earth is close to, say, 10,000 years old versus a number like 4 billion years old, like, what would you say is more likely to be true?
I don't know, but it's definitely not billions.
Definitely not. Why would you say that?
Yeah.
Because we haven't evolved even to the billion.
Well, the question of how long human beings have been evolving and how old the Earth is are two separate questions. So I'm just focused on the Earth thing. So you saying the Earth is definitely not billions of years old. And I'm wondering where does that confidence come from in your belief?
I mean, there's no proof for that, but I know that it was definitely before my time because I'm only 34 years old. So
what would you tell me if I said you could go to any geology class in any community college anywhere in the United States and the professor will be able to give you evidence that the Earth is, in fact, billions of years old? What would you say to that?
I need proof, just like you want proof of Jesus, right?
Well, I said evidence. Yeah. So if you could go into any community college in America and speak with someone who has some expertise in this area, you could take a geology class and they would be able to provide you with the evidence that the Earth is billions of years old. What would you say to that?
I mean, that could be their theory. That doesn't mean that I believe that.
Well, I'm saying if they could show you the evidence, what would that do?
We don't have evidence. Just like we don't have evidence of people going on the moon.
Well, hang on. I'm asking you. So I'm asking you, if someone could show you the evidence that the Earth was billions of years old, what would happen?
There isn't any evidence.
Well, you're not answering the question. I'm going to give you, we're about to be at strike three. So yeah. if someone could show you evidence that the Earth is billions of years old, not thousands, what would that do to your belief?
Nothing. My belief wouldn't change. Just because you show me something doesn't mean.
So let me ask you this.
If your beliefs, you believe that.
Well, no, I'm not talking about what I believe. I'm talking about someone showing you evidence of something. So if your beliefs are sort of immune to evidence, do you care about whether your beliefs are true?
I mean, everyone does.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm asking you. Do you care about your beliefs being true?
I don't need to care. I know it's true.
I'm asking you a very simple yes or no question.
Yeah,
Do you care about whether your beliefs are true?
Yes, everyone does.
Okay. Can you tell me a better way to make sure that our beliefs are true than following the evidence to our conclusions?
You have belief.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that there's something in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what people that have a relationship with God does. They have belief.
It sounds like you might not have heard the question. So I'm asking you, if I care about my beliefs being true and you care about your beliefs being true, but I like following the evidence and you're saying the evidence wouldn't change your mind. I'm asking you, if what I want is to have true beliefs, is there a better way for me to have true beliefs than for me to proportion my beliefs to the evidence?
That's not up for me to decide. Like, you don't need evidence.
Hang on, Evan, because I want to make this really, really clear. While Kenneth and I like to joke and we'll get snarky and stuff, we like to have fun. These aren't gotcha questions.
Nope.
They're not. We're not trying to, it's not a trap. It's not anything like that. We legitimately want to know how you understand things because we want to know that about ourselves. We want to know that about other people. So it sounds like, and Kenneth, tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like what you're saying is that currently you think the best way to come to the most true thing is by following the evidence in front of us.
Yeah, I would say proportioning one's belief to the evidence is a good way to go about believing as many true things and as few false things as possible. So if there's a better way of going about that, I want to know.
And I would say I also agree with that. And then we'll ask you, Evan, would you also agree with that statement that Kenneth just made?
There we go.
I disagree. I agree that sometimes you need evidence, but what I am saying is I don't need the evidence that God is real because I believe that he is. Because
wait a minute, that
he's real.
But if we care about our beliefs being true, should we believe things when we don't have evidence?
That's up for you to decide.
Is it?
All right.
I've been listening for the hour and 47 minutes that you've been on there, you guys, you atheists believe that having a conversation is going to change anything. It's not. It's just your belief. It's your opinion. And everyone has their right
to. Do you think conversation has ever changed minds?
Evan. Yeah. I was a fundamentalist evangelical Christian who was a young earth creationist for more than 20 years. And it was conversation and it was asking questions, caring about whether my beliefs were true, that led me out of my Christianity. So
many of us here
and many other people are in the same boat. So if you think conversation doesn't have the power to change people's minds, you're simply wrong. But the key is the people having the conversations have to care about whether the things they believe are true.
Right.
I understand that, but you're not going to change someone's mind just because of what you believe in.
Well, no. And I wouldn't hope so. I wouldn't hope that if I said, I believe that, you know, say you come to the table and you say, I believe there's a God. And I said, well, I believe that there isn't a God. No, these claims shouldn't change anybody's mind. Right. What should change people's minds is the evidence.
Because if we both, if all three of us here right now, Evan, if all three of us agree with that, hang on just a second. If all three of us agree with that statement earlier, that we want our beliefs to be as close to just freaking spot on true as they can be. And that the best way to do that is by following the evidence that's laid out in front of us and where it leads us. If that's what we all agree on, then it kind of sounds like if we talk about that evidence and we talk about our beliefs together and we push back and challenge respectfully, it kind of sounds like we're going to get closer to that to me.
Evan, do you believe that there's a giant snake circling the planet?
Good question, Kenneth.
No, I do not believe it.
Okay. You're not going to believe this. Earlier today, we talked to somebody who says that there is one. So if you say, I don't think there's a snake, and that guy goes, no, for real, there's totally a snake, and I want to believe true things, how do I go about doing that?
I think most people will believe anything because the internet is filled with lies and corrupt people.
Yeah.
Right.
You can say that the world's floating on lava.
That's right.
Is it? No, it's not. Because if it was, we'd probably be dead right now, right?
I'm not sure I caught what you were saying, but the point that it sounded like you were trying to make is that, yeah, anybody can believe anything. And anybody, especially if they're using faith as a tool to believe, you can believe anything on faith. But that's a problem. That's why faith is useless if people care about whether their beliefs are true. So like if you're going to come to the table and be like, well, I believe in God. Well, why do you believe that? Well, because I do, because I have faith. I believe it. Well, congratulations. You're free to believe whatever the hell you want. But for people who care about whether their beliefs are true, that's not going to be enough. They're going to need evidence at the table, not just
Why do you need evidence?
Because I care about whether my beliefs are true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It comes down to just because I care about whether my beliefs are true.
Yeah. If that's the best way to get us to having more true beliefs.
What if you never get that evidence? Then what?
Yeah. That's actually a fantastic question. So if there's a claim and someone's like, hey, I think that X is true. And I'm like, well, I don't have evidence for that. So I don't believe it. And if I never get the evidence, then I'm never going to believe it. It's going to be like, I don't think so. I'm not convinced.
Yeah.
And it's not even, I don't think so. It's, I don't adopt the belief that what you're claiming is true. Could it be true? Sure. It could totally be true. And I could just never have access to the evidence, but that's not my problem.
Because if you don't, Evan, if you don't, hang on, Evan, hold on. If you don't have a rigorous method like that, when it comes to believing things, especially, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that there's a group of people in the United States that have some claims like that, and they want to legislate those claims and force other people into harmful and terrible situations. Those are the people that have to deal with. When I am more correct about the world around me, I have a better chance of making better decisions and a better chance of making true decisions, as opposed to just believing something and having no good reason to believe it. Kenneth, you want to wrap us up real quick? Because Evan, we appreciate you hanging with us. Thank you so much. And please call us again, Evan. And let's work through this. Because I felt like we were just making a little bit of progress.
I think we were starting to get somewhere.
Yeah. Give me a wrap up real quick. And I'm going to say some nice things and then we'll take us out. What are your thoughts, Kenneth?
First of all, I think that white chocolate would be an excellent nickname for you from this point forward.
Boom. You heard it, folks. Tell us in the comments.
I think that'd be great. Look, I, I can't remember the last time I was on one of these shows and there were people, so many people who reached a point of that honesty, that openness of saying, I don't know.
Yes.
So that just warms my little Grinch atheist heart. That's great. And I would just encourage people to ask lots of questions and just don't be in a hurry to reach a point of cognitive closure. It's nice. It feels nice to feel like we know what's going on. But the instant you get there, you often stop asking questions. That's a bummer. So yeah,
for sure. And I agree.
And I got to get out of here before Dan figures out I'm in his closet.
Okay. We'll get you out of here real quick. So everyone remember below the chat right now, there's a fundraiser. 100% of the proceeds go directly to the ACA. That is a super great way to help out this wonderful show and this community. Remember, just like the video and subscribe already. It's so super simple. It really doesn't take much effort at all. Become a member, click the join button below. You get some super sweet chat emotes. Patreon, or tiny.cc/patreonth is another great way to support us. Also remember tiny.cc/AEN podcast for all the podcast forms. By the way, we've got a fan run Facebook page, tiny.cc/FBTHG and tiny.cc/ACA discord. That is for that awesome, awesome fan run ACA Discord. I'm going to be jumping over here in just a minute to the flagship show of the ACA, by the way, the nonprofits, because it's airing at 3 p.m. Central today. So here in just a few minutes, folks, it's going to be simple, tiny.cc/YTNP. And Kenneth, you know what I'm going to say next, because we couldn't freaking do it without these wonderful people. Can
They're
we get the crew? Can
they
we?
Are. They
Let's
are.
Get them up there. Oh,
a
my
bunch
gosh.
Of incredible people
oh my
and
gosh.
Also a cat.
Honestly, it's really impressive how opposable those cat's thumbs are. Like I have watched that thing go and it is like, I can't code at all, but I could never.
This entire enterprise would fall apart without the
without
cat.
The cat. Yeah. Well, I do believe that. So, and we've got good evidence to believe it, but
right.
Everyone, thank you so freaking much for hanging out with us again. Kenneth, I always love doing this with you, man. You always
Likewise.
Bring such great stuff.
Likewise. I love seeing you on here.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of fun and it gives me an opportunity to say that to everybody that's out there, that's hanging out with us, watching now and in the future, whether or not you believe, if you are an essential worker and you are out there on a daily basis, we're still in the midst of this terrible crap. And we've got to do a better job, even myself included. We all have to do better and just get past this garbage, okay? And if you're out there putting yourself on the front lines, we want to thank you because that is important. If you don't believe, this is your community and we want you to hang out with us and we want you to be here with us. We always value your input and your feedback. So definitely give it to us. If you like the nickname White Chocolate that Kenneth has given me,
I hope that's
tell us.
Nice.
Yeah.
I hope
you know what? It's probably going to because I'm like, okay. Anyway, if you do believe, we don't hate you.
Yeah. We're just not convinced.
See ya.
We want the truth, so watch Truth Wanted live Friday at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTTW and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callTW.